Welcome to the 4Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 9th of July, recording at 8:17 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights of the week, as this is the Big Picture Long-Term Outlook audio. And, you know, I could really say that the week is exactly the opposite of the two previous weeks, and we can all go back and watch the World Cup or whatever. But I won't do that. But certainly it's a truism. Stock market started in Asia on Monday with some upside key day reversals, and they've pretty well been firm all week. The bigger gains, of course, have occurred in Asia and North America because of the heavy short positions that were in those markets. And we've seen prices rebound quite sharply here this week, including today. We're getting a bit of it's quieter action, but firm. Whereas one might have, one wouldn't have been too surprised to see some little bit of profit taking on Friday. But I think they're still covering shorts. Okay. In the long-dated government bond prices arena, these are mostly lower. Gilts are an exception in here today, but the U.S. Treasuries are down, and so are the bunds. I think the JGBs are also down. Now, the U.S. dollar, well, it's mixed. A little bit firmer in here today against the euro and the and sterling, but it's quiet basically. Gold's having a decent day. Bullion's back up to 1210. That's pushed. And I shouldn't. I forgot my review of the week. Those overextended bond prices have weakened. They peaked earlier in the week and have weakened as stock markets have come up. And now moving on to gold, which is probed down into the 1180s region a couple of times this week, but has firmed in the last couple of days. As I mentioned, currently 1210. Silver back up to 1812, having tracked gold. And we're seeing a firmer tone from both platinum and palladium in here today, but no great shakes. These are all rebound, range bound overall. But as I say, firmer today. The industrial metals have been moving up with stock markets. No surprise there, as is crude oil. So all the industrial metals are a little bit firmer here today. Say they've been firm pretty well all week. And we have copper up at 305, nearly 306. Now, in crude oil, I mentioned was firmer, 76.23. The grain and bean complex has been interesting. It started to rally last week, and we've seen some pretty good gains this week, led by wheat, which is down a little bit here today, but soybeans and corn are both higher. And sugar is taking a rest. It has been rallying recently. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, we saw very oversold levels by the end of last week, and the sentiment in particular I think was shocking. When I say oversold levels, now let me be geographically specific here because it doesn't apply to all markets. The Asian stock markets had held up exceptionally well, and I want to come back to that point more than once here, but the deeply oversold conditions existed on Wall Street and in Europe mainly. And Those markets have started to rebound on some quite aggressive short covering. But what astonished me really, and I mentioned it on a number of occasions, and I've written about it daily in here this week, was the extent of the gloom. I mean, thanks to thoughtful subscribers, I receive a lot of reports, and of course, there are some that I source myself. And the copy, particularly the copy coming out of the United States, in my entire career, I've never seen anything like it. It's more bearish than anything that I recall after the 87 crash, although there was a fair amount of depression gloom then, or after the big blowout in 1974, and the D word was used back then as well. But this was just about as bearish, or that was my impression, as the comments that we were hearing in late 2008 and early 2009. So what's that now? Let's forget the right or wrongs of that, because some people who hold that view will say, well, it may take many years or whatever. But what does it say about cash positions? And if you have one report after another coming out of the United States, which is extremely bearish, then it doesn't take too much lateral thinking to appreciate that cash levels are going to be high. So what's interesting about this rally is at first it starts with the short covering. Rallies always do when you've got a downtrend, and Wall Street was down at least 17% from its high. But usually that is accompanied by a bit of bargain hunting, which becomes a little bit more aggressive in good rallies, and then eventually the momentum buyers come back in. Well, will we see that? Well, on Monday, when I wrote about this, talked about this, I said that if all we were going to see was short covering, then the rally would struggle to last more than a week or two. Well, it's lasted a week. It'd be interesting to see what happens next week. But given the extremes of sentiment and in the West, and given what have to be fairly high cash levels among investors, I think this rally could easily continue. You get those reports coming in, people who were commenting on the market and saying, well, I sold everything I had back in April, or I sold everything I had in June, or whatever. There's been a fair amount of that. I don't want to belabor the point. You appreciate it. Now, these Asian stock markets, with the exception of China, that's been an IPO, initial public offering problem, really supply. You could say, well, hey, wait a minute, they've been tightening interest rates. Well, they've been increasing mostly reserve requirements for banks and cutting off the flow of money to property speculators. But other central banks have been raising rates as well. Malaysia did today in Asia. India raised rates again. They're still quite low historically, but they don't have the supply problems, and so consequently, the Indian stock market and the Malaysian stock market's right up near the highs for the year. So it's supply that's been a big problem for China. And we've got an interesting technicality here following the Agricultural Bank of flotation, because a lot of people were selling before that in that market, and because they had to raise the cash, and then they too could calculate that other people might be selling, so they're hoping to buy back later. So we'll see. We'll see. China's at an interesting level right now. If you have a look at that chart, I remain hugely bullish for the long term. But now let's take this situation with the ASEAN stock markets and India, which remained rock steady. What I find fascinating is that when Wall Street lost upside momentum in April and then came down with a bump, so did India and the ASEAN markets and most other stock markets around the world. Then we had a sort of a partial technical rally, regained about half of that decline, a little less than half of that decline on Wall Street. And the ASEAN markets and India rallied back up to their highs, or very close to them. And when Wall Street turned down and took out its lows for the decline that carried into the end of last week, those Asian markets that I was referring to remained very steady, and some of them have even pushed a new high, including Singapore, no, not Singapore, Thailand and the Philippines. And that's really quite impressive. Now, as I've mentioned before, they didn't have the short position, so they may actually underperform in a rising market for a while. But the action has been quite extraordinary in terms of uncoupling. And that's impressive. As I've mentioned on a number of occasions, uncoupling has always been the holy grail of analysts and investors. We'd absolutely love to see it, because you need to have a refuge here, and it would be nice if a sector of stock markets or geographical region of stock markets was outperforming while another one was underperforming. We just look at the charts and switch appropriately, right? Well, what we've seen recently is uncoupling, but it was a significant test, but not the severest of tests. So more evidence will be required with time. Okay, let's move on now to these long-dated government bonds. They've been taking their cue from stock markets and the economic gloom all along. So when stock markets are on the defensive and people are talking about double-dip recessions and depressions, then that causes bond yields to go down and the bond prices to go up. Incidentally, a lot of those people who are talking about the depression and the double-dip recession were holding short positions. Now, so talking the book, in other words. Now, my feeling is that these long-dated government bonds do not represent good long-term value unless you are absolutely convinced, excuse me, that the West is going to experience a Japan-style deflation. It's possible, but I wouldn't rate that more than a 20% chance, being generous. So I think it's much, much more likely that we get sort of a soft growth environment with deflationary pressures, but eventually turning into stagflation and then finally inflation. But that's might be well down the road. Although we've certainly seen a bit of inflation in the UK recently, and it'll be disturbing if that doesn't fade out over the next few months, as it quite possibly will. Now, what about currencies? And I've talked about these daily. The US dollar has appeal as a haven currency. Why does it have appeal as a haven currency? Well, it's a liquid market, although that's a minor reason, I suspect. The main reason it has appeal as a haven currency is because it worked last time and the time before that, so it becomes reinforcing. People get frightened, go into the dollar and treasury bonds. It's sort of a knee-jerk response. But when confidence picks up a little bit and people start thinking about what's actually going on here in these economies, the United States, unfortunately, doesn't look so hot. So we've got the unemployment problem, which is severe by US standards. The US has the sovereign debt problem, which is severe by any standards, and we're still getting the deleveraging of householders. The adjustable rate mortgages thing problem drags on into well through 2011. There's a sort of a loss of confidence generally that I've commented on this week. So, as havens go, this is really looking a bit like an empty closet, unfortunately. Now, I think people are beginning to realize that, and or to focus on this. They probably realized it all along, but sort of suspended that view due to other emotional concerns. But so the dollar, as a consequence of all this, has slipped back. Now, it's slipped back in recent weeks against the euro, which has certainly been a weak currency, and also against sterling, which has been a very weak currency. My view is that sterling for sure is bottoming out, and probably the euro is as well. But I would go with a downward break in the euro if that were to occur again, because the deflationary pressures will be greater there than they will be in the UK. So that's the background as I see it in those regions. The currencies that I think are attractive once again, and we've had a lot of volatility here, so I'm not making a 10-year forecast on this, but the resources currencies are also firmer in here, and that may persist for a while. Although I have to say, I doubt that we're going to see any huge drama in the currency markets over the next few months. That'll come as a relief, won't it? Because we've had plenty of drama elsewhere. So don't be surprised, I won't be surprised, if we see mostly sort of ranging activity. But that ranging activity would be base building for sterling against the dollar and possibly the euro as well. Asian currencies somewhat firmer. But again, don't be surprised if we get the ranging. These Asian countries do not want to see their currencies spiking up against the US dollar. So the new normal in currencies may be somewhat more boring than the activity that we have had. What about these commodities? Well, the BP disaster, ecological tragedy, has certainly put a rising floor underneath the oil price, as I've mentioned repeatedly. Oil will fluctuate like everything else, but as say the floor price is rising for the simple reason that there will be less offshore drilling for a while. The costs of offshore drilling will increase, not least in terms of insurance. So higher costs, moratoriums, I mean, that's just going to mean less oil from offshore drilling for a while. So that changes the equation a little bit. That increases the risk that we will get pushback by crude oil prices to higher levels than I think was previously likely. Higher levels when the global economy picks up. Just going to have a quick cough here. Sorry about that, but human frailties here. It's probably more that than nerves, I trust. Okay, so energy costs. I think they will edge upwards. And when the US economy next picks up again, it's slowing right now, and when the European economy next picks up again, it's slowing right now, the competition for oil with Asia could be intense. Now, we also have all the various different alternatives, mostly subsidized, coming online. One that's not subsidized, to my knowledge, and has been very important in the last many months, is the shale gas. Somewhat controversial, but we need the gas, and you can bet that more of it's going to be produced. So I'm not looking for an energy crisis, but it will become a bit more expensive at some point. Now, demand, what about demand for commodities here? People are talking about the Chinese economy slowing down. Well, sure. They had overstimulated it during the economic crisis. China did not get a recession, and that stimulus pushed growth back up to 12%. They'd like to see it in the 8 to 10% region, and that's what they'll get. But that's still going to be consuming a lot of commodities, and so are other developing nations. And I think that demand will continue. These industrial commodities can be awfully volatile, but again, I think the floors are likely to be rising more often than not. Okay. So where does that leave us? Fuller money themes look extremely attractive to me. We had a real fright with the Australian super tax, but the Prime Minister was forced to walk the plank. Sanity has returned. I think that those stocks look attractive once again. I think most, if not all, of the fuller money themes look attractive, and that's backed by the charts. So it's not just whistling in the dark, and I'm happy about that, on my behalf and your behalf. And on that note, before the voice really does pack in, I will wish you all the very best for a splendid weekend. Good night.